we're continuing our series in Romans. Mel gave a beautiful message last week, starting with chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, dead to sin and alive in Christ. And this week, I'll be speaking in chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. So for you Bible scholars and those of you who wish to read along, go ahead and open your Bibles. Once again, that is chapter 6, verse 15 through 23. And so, you know, as a minister, one of the hardest things to do is to come up with a title for your sermon. At least that's one of my struggles. And I don't know if you guys can really see it, so you guys will say it with me. I will say the first part, and then you guys will say the second part. So it goes, free is in freedom, but, and then this is where you guys will say, freedom is not free. I'll say it again. Free is in freedom, but freedom is not free. So with that being said, if you have served in our military, if you have, you know, put your life on the line for the freedom of others, can you please stand up or raise a hand, and we want to give you a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you for your service, because we stand here today, free Americans, due to your sacrifice. You put your life on the line, you served our military, and, you know, fortunately, I have the opportunity to thank you as well as many others in the church. So thank you very much for your service and your sacrifice. But to be honest, I too was on my way to the military at one point in time. I was down and out. I graduated college, got turned down by 6 different jobs. Some of the jobs are pretty embarrassing, I wouldn't wish to say, but I was at my lowest point. And, man, God knew what he was doing when I felt like a failure and I was going through my struggle. He definitely tested my faith. But each and every day that I went without a job, I continued to say, God, you will provide. I kept saying that. I believed that. I confessed that in my heart. I spoke it out loud. God, you will provide. And he did. So you guys can give God the praise or the grief for me being here today. But I am a little nervous. This message, I have to warn that if some of you guys are struggling with, you know, reality, I am going to speak to you directly. Also, I will have some images that are a little mature regarding my message today. So if that is hard for you to watch and listen, I would suggest that you step out, but I'd love for you to stay in, because today we're going to go and we're going to be tested. Amen? Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today, Lord, gathering each of us to hear your word. Father, I pray that you use me in every way possible, that I'm able to speak clearly, confidently, the truth that you have given to me, Lord. Let this divine message seek our hearts, dwell in our minds, and change our souls, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. And thank you for making us free. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So, slaves to righteousness. This is Paul's writing, verses 15 through 23. So we're just going to go over the passage. I'll read it out loud. He says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which lead to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Verse 19. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That was a lot. And I mean, that can be three or four sermons in its own because of how rich and genuine that text is. But I'm going to condense it all, okay? So bear with me, tighten your seatbelt, and let's go, all right? This passage alone is a whole reason why we are currently going over this series of Romans. The goal of this series is for us Christ followers to believe, to obey, and bring glory to God. You can also find that in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. When you do those three things, believe, obey, and bring glory to God. Say it with me. Believe, obey, and bring glory to God. When you do those three things, you're going to start telling those around you about the freedom that you're experiencing and having. When you get great news biblically, you know that we're supposed to go out to the masses and spread the good news so we can gather together in celebration. God calls us to celebrate together over the good news. So what that is saying is, First Christian Church, go out, get a friend, a family member, bring them to church and share them the good news, right? If we all do that, Mel, we're going to need more pews. Just letting you know. But that is the point, to spread the good news. And if you don't want to invite people to your church, we still love you. But what I want to ask you all is, who do you believe in? Who do you obey? And who do you bring glory to? Maybe you haven't really thought about that or those questions in context and really let it dwell in your soul. Who do I believe in? Who do I obey? And who do I bring glory to? Or what do I bring glory to? I stand before you as a free man, never physically enslaved or in prison. I have no master on earth. I bow before no earthly man. I say that with full confidence that God is my king, the one whom I bring or who I believe in, who I obey and bring glory to daily. I'd rather die with God's freedom than to gain the world's riches. But I shall confess, I too have been bounded and chained by the serpent's lies and tricks. I've deceived myself in the past, confused while being abused by the devil's tricks, not realizing I was serving two masters. Thinking I was free, but I was actually being suffocated and dehydrated from my Savior. Have you ever been enslaved spiritually and mentally? Have you? The worst thing about it all is that some of us, especially us seasoned Christians, we have tasted and seen God's freedom. We know what it's like. And Jesus lets us know that we're free. But what do? We continue to run back to the things that bound us and chains us. We continue to run back to it, running away from freedom and going to enslavement. Jesus tells us that we can leave the plantation, that we can be free from the devil's chains. But the fear of leaving the world behind, the fear chains us to the very thing we should be running away from. So I want to go back to the scripture, and I want us to talk about that. It says, verse 15 through 16 says, "What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves? You are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." See, last time I spoke, I talked to you guys about God's righteous judgment. Now I have the opportunity to tell you guys about slaves of righteousness. And also last time when I spoke, I talked about how we have a lawyer. Remember, John came up here with the ball and chain, the prison outfit, right? He sat right here. See, and I said that we have a lawyer that we can't afford. A lawyer that has set us free from the crimes that we have committed against God's court. In verse 15, Paul is asking, how many times are you going to commit the same crime against God? How many times do you think you're going to walk free, pass, go and collect $200 and think there are no repercussions? No, you cannot play God for a fool. He knows what you're doing. He knows what I am doing. And just because you received grace and mercy multiple times does not mean that each time you're going to go free. And there is a price to pay. So Paul follows it up after verse 15 and 16, after asking us that question, how many times do you think you're going to play God as a fool? Paul follows it up by calling us slaves. That word slave, hold it in your back pocket because it's about to get a little rough in here and uncomfortable. He says, and when you are a slave, you are obedient to your master. See, when you're a slave, your master owns you and you're known as a servant, right? See, the word slave is the most repeated word in this text. I recorded it to be said 8 times in Paul's in this passage alone. Paul seems to be focused on this one word specifically, slave. And when we hear it today, it doesn't make people feel comfortable. A lot of times people will say, stop talking about it. Unfortunately, today we have to talk about it. Because, see, I prayed and I asked God, Father, is this what you want me to say? And I'm trying to tell you, some people know, before I got up here, I was saying, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel good coming up here and say this. My stomach has been hurting for the last hour. My mouth is dry because I fear what I may be looked as. But I know who I am. And I know why I am here. So I have to do it. So I found that slavery is the topic of discussion today. And not physically or literally, but spiritually and mentally, are you a slave? I want you guys to think about that. See, in America alone, Slavery in this country lasted about 400 years. At least 300 of those years came from legal chains, whips, meaningless beatings, destruction of one's identity and worth, raping, involuntary servitude, lynching, and so much more. African people were unable to practice their own language. They were stripped away from their own heritage and given a different name that oppressed them from leading them to know who they were and who they are. Mother and children will watch their male role models get beaten daily in front of them so they won't rebel against the slave master. Fear would be ingrained in them by each and every way possible. Generation after generation would be subjected to these less than human conditions. And I want you guys to think, is that life? Is this the way one should be treated? Slave masters would be sure that these people couldn't read, that they couldn't speak in their own language. They'll be stripped away of their rights. Yeah, it was tough. And these were the punishments that they would face. They knew nothing more than oppression, beating, and work. Their fear and lack of knowledge and wisdom kept majority of them from fighting and wanting better for themselves. I have to say this so we understand today, church, what the enemy is willing to do for us Christians. He's willing to enslave us. He's willing to beat us, gives us whips and lashes so we can fall in line to his army. So when I say that, are you a slave? No, I'm not saying are you receiving whips on your backs, but spiritually, your spiritual body might be suffering today. There might be some things that have you bounded and chained up and you just want to run loose. And you want to go away, but the fear of leaving the world behind has you scared. I want you guys to know that the devil doesn't want you to know God's word. He doesn't want you to know that you are royalty. He doesn't want you to know that you're a child of God, more than a conqueror, or to feel loved. When I was doing my reading, I stumbled upon Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12, and it says, wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. See, that word, wisdom, is repeated twice there because there's something much more powerful with wisdom than money. Money is good. I know half of your prayers would be gone if you got a little bit more money. I understand that. But wisdom, wisdom is the root of it all. We want to gain wisdom. And see, my first point leads me to say sin destroys generations. Amen. Okay, let me put in more depth because I feel like we're a little stuck right now. Sin destroys generations. I say that because there are sins that have been running in your family that is hard for you to break free from. Some of you may not know that your great-great-grandmother suffered through some of the same struggles you're going through right now. Yeah, sin is generational. See, some people suffer with hatred because they got to see firsthand how their parents hated. Some people battle with pornography, not realizing that their grandfather or maybe their auntie or dad battle with it as well. Why is sin destroying generations to come? Because nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to confess it and handle it before it spills over to the next generation. Don't you know that your loved ones are watching you each and every day, parents? Your kids are watching you. What you do today, they're watching. You have some of the greatest influence in their lives. Your children are a reflection of you. And when you get mad that your child has a potty mouth, I wonder who did they hear it from first. I mean, we can't be obedient to this thought that, hey, God, I'll come to you once I got it together. God, I'm just not ready to come to God right now. No, he says, come now. Come to me now. Why? Because your children are watching you. Your family are watching you. You may be that gap. You may lead your family out of that destruction that the devil had for you. But because you made the sacrifice, you're now leading your family out of it into salvation. Amen? And I have to ask the question. Would you rather watch those under you suffer than to face your own struggles today? Would you? And maybe some of you guys are like, man, I don't have kids, or, No. Would you rather watch those around you suffer, your loved ones suffer, because you are scared to handle what you are going through today? There's some things we have to deal with today, not tomorrow, not when we got that check, not when we got the new job or the new relationship. No, we need to handle it today. See, wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. We have to start telling the generations about the wisdom of God. We have to spread his word and share his power and be obedient to it so we can receive the greatest gift to ever be given, which is eternal life. Enslavement is more mental than physical nowadays, and I want you guys to understand that. Your mind can be chained and bounded up. Real quick. I've told my youth group this. This is a little off the note. I told my youth group this. If you go to the zoo, you look at a lion, you know that you don't have teeth like a lion. You don't have the body of a lion. You look at an elephant, you don't have the size or the strength of an elephant. You look in the air, you see an eagle flying, and you know that, hey, I cannot fly either. You go in the water, and you can't swim as fast as a shark. What makes us strong? What gives us the power today to capture these animals and to rule over them in the kingdom? The power is in the mind. So if I was the enemy, and I know that, hey, you can't run faster than a cheetah, you can't get as big as an elephant, you're not as strong as a lion, what would I try to bound? The mind. The enemy doesn't want your car. Your name might be on it, but why does he want the car? That doesn't give him glory. He doesn't want your house. He doesn't want your marriage. No, he wants your mind, because if he controls your mind, he will destroy your marriage. He will make you overdraft your credit card. He wants your mind. And we have to start understanding that wisdom can save your life. The reason why, I'm going to give you guys an example. When I was in California, right, a young teenager, a man told me, the only thing in these streets that it can give you is being shot, being dead, or in jail. Okay, that's enough wisdom for me not to want that. Like, come on, it's pretty obvious. I don't want shot. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be dead. Like, that's stupid. But I know people that went to my high school, my friends, the people I played football with that didn't know their identity, so they found their identity in that. They think it's cool to get shot and go to jail and be put on a white t-shirt and respected. Once you're dead, wisdom, the mind, is powerful. And we have to start feeding our mind with the right things. So be the example. Be the leader for your family. Go before God boldly, leaving nothing behind, because you're going to give it all to him. He will honor your sacrifice. And with you honoring his sacrifice, those around you will see it and follow you. I want to be like that man, because he's a strong Christian and he goes before God fearfully and boldly. I want to be like that woman because of the way she serves God. Their heart for God is influential and inspirational. I can't stand here anymore because I want to love God just like that. But I understand how it feels to struggle. So we have to know who we belong to. You have to know that. But to know that, I realize that we must fully believe and know who we belong to. We must know his name. We must know his spirit, his power, his freedom. Today is the day, church. Today is the day where you shout out and you are and you say you're a child of God. It's about time to start letting everybody know that you have been set free. Because we know better, we must do better. No longer should we stay bound to sin and hate the life that we're in. Romans chapter 6 verse 20 through 21 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result to death. The answer to that, Paul, is absolutely nothing. I reaped nothing. Nothing, no benefit, reaped nothing. What benefit did you gain from drinking all night and going to work hungover? Nothing. What did you gain from sleeping with multiple people? Nothing. Yes, you have the freedom to do what you want, and you will not gain nothing. Kirby, don't correct me. Nothing at all. And those who only undergo strict discipline and training will receive the final prize in life. And now that you know better and you know that you're a child of God, you look at your past and you look at the dumb things you did and you're ashamed to talk about them. Like some of us have secrets, and when somebody asks you, what's the dumbest thing you did? You're like, I don't want to talk about that. Right? Right? You're like, I don't want to talk about that. That's my past. Let's leave the past. I know. Because there's some skeletons in my closet that I don't want to talk about. But we must know who we belong to. See, those things result to death, church. Free from control and structure in God only leads you to being a slave to wickedness and leading to death. Somebody told me, I already went to that. Sorry. So, to fast forward. So now we say, I belong to Jesus Christ. I know who I am. I'm a Christian. Do you really know who you belong to? Do you really know how powerful that statement is? See, we say we're Christ followers, but we have no idea really what that means. Do you know what it's like to take up your cross each and every day? Do you know what it's like to have faith the size of a mustard seed and allow God to move that mountain from in front of you? Do you know what it's like to be at your lowest point? So tired that you can't cry anymore. So ashamed you don't want to show face and still call upon the one who calms storms. Do you know what it's like to be a Christian? Do you know what it's like to be adopted into a family that loves you no matter how faulty you may be, no matter how many sins you committed, no matter how many skeletons are in your closet? Do you know what it's like to be a Christian? Do you know what it's like to be free from the grasp of the enemy? Have you been freed? See, I repeatedly ask the question, do you know who you belong to? Because he knows that you are his, but do you know that? And do you believe that in your heart each and every day? See, there's this lady by the nickname of Moses who freed thousands of slaves. And she was known for the Underground Railroad, Harriet Tubman. A true heroic member of our American history who still receives praises today. I thought she was going to be on the $20 bill, but I don't know what happened to that. Y'all remember that? Like, she was going to be on there, I promise y'all. Now, I don't know, somebody with money said no. But anyways, see, her name was Harriet Tubman, but known as Moses. Here's why. Because she didn't just free herself, but she went back and got more. Went back and got more and developed these routes where slaves were able to be free. See, Moses killed a man in Egypt. Pharaoh found out that Moses killed an Egyptian. So Moses ran, took off. He got away from the wrath of Pharaoh. And then being obedient and a slave to righteousness, he heard God in the form of a burning bush, listened to God, went back to Egypt and said, "Let my people go." That's a play, no way. Anyway, so he goes back. He goes back, grabs his people, and he's leading his people to no return. See, he raises his staff, spreads the sea. They walk across the bottom of the Red Sea, leaving their past transgressions washed away in it. Moses got questioned and ridiculed by his own people to the point they're like, "I much rather receive the scraps that Pharaoh gave me than to be free." Listen, they're free, but they much rather hold on to the scraps and the little pieces that Pharaoh gave them. Are you guys free, but you rather go back to the sinful life because you experience a little bit of joy, not realizing that you're being abused, that you're being enslaved? Harriet Tubman was compared to Moses because of her bravery, because of her obedience to God and her selflessness. And she was a Christian woman, a true form of Christ. Like, she displayed it. And she didn't just find freedom for herself, but she went back and got more. Isn't that what we're supposed to do, church? Aren't we supposed to go find freedom for ourselves? Okay, God, thank you, but I'm going back to go get more. Aren't we supposed to share the good news with people that we love, that we care for? Love thy neighbor as we love thyself. That means when you see that drunkard, when you see that homeless person, you're supposed to love them and share the good news with them. You don't find treasure for yourself and say, "I'm going to hold it for myself. I'm not going to share it with nobody else." No, it's a cycle. God forgives you, you forgive others. God gives you life, you go share life with others. It's not about you. You are supposed to be a slave to righteousness, which leads to freedom and eternal life. But we're so stuck up in our own ways, we fear doing that very thing because when we come to church, we're scared that the people who are supposed to love us are going to judge us. See, Harriet Tubman had a very powerful quote, and it knocks me off of my feet just thinking about it. This quote convicts me to pray and obey and move for God even the more than I'm doing today. She said, "I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves." Gosh! Do you know who you belong to? Do you know who you're representing? Yeah, we can come to church today and we can put on a good face, we put on a smile, look good and everything, but God realizes if you're shackled or not, if you're free or not. I don't know what may have you bounded. I don't know what is holding you back from running to God. But I declare deliverance over your life today. And I'm speaking out of my heart. Whatever you may be going through, I'm speaking to you. A child of God, a beautiful masterpiece, uniquely made, royalty, more than conquerors. I'm speaking to you. God is saying you are free. That you will no longer allow the enemy to suppress your praise and worship for the Lord. I know sometimes we think that, man, I don't deserve God's love. Last night I did something dumb. I don't want to go to church. I had a bad argument. You know, I did X, Y, and Z. I don't want to praise God. I don't want to lift my hands up and shout. I've been there. I've done it. But she said, I would have freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves. Just because you don't do everything right, don't be a slave. Because when you stop coming to Christ, when you stop sharing the good news, the enemy is like, got him. I got him. When you don't want to pray, I got him. When you don't want to love your brother or sister, I got him. When you're willing to let anger bound you, I got him. He said, I got him. God, where is your believers at now? I understand how it feels to be late on rent. I got him. You just want to be free, but you don't know how. The devil's saying, I got him. Today is the day we shout out and we cry out that we are free. Don't let your kids see you crying without going before the Lord. Every time you're hurt, say, Father, this is yours. I'm giving it all to you. Don't be blind by the ways of this road any longer, but come before God with humility. Be humbled. Go before God boldly, strong and encouraged, not enslaved and bounded. Jesus paid the price for your freedom. So go experience it. Go live it. Free is in freedom, but freedom is not free. Free is in freedom, but freedom is not free. Jesus paid the price. He's talking to you. You all, us, me. Go experience the freedom that he paid for. He took up his cross and said, you, I forgive you. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. But the wisdom that you learn today is going to save your life. Be obedient slaves to Jesus Christ so you can experience eternal life. Verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. See, being a slave to this world leads us to death. Being free with God and accepting his gift leads us to eternal life. That is why I thank him. That is why I praise. That's why I stand up here confidently and boldly willing to speak to you guys about tough matters. I know that you guys didn't partake in slavery, but are you a slave? Your name is on that car, but does that car own you? No. Do you know who you belong to? And are you willing to handle your problem for your children to be able to grow and prosper? You guys are descendants of Abraham. Abraham was blessed and considered righteous. You're a chosen few. You're chosen. God said, you're free and free at last. Spread your wings. Spread your arms. Devil, you have no chains on me no more. I am free. And I lift my hands and I bow my head to you each and every day because I love you, Father. And I'm willing to give my life, not for show, not for a round of applause, but because I love you and I understand what you did. Some of you today have yet to realize that lifting your hands and getting on your knees to thank God is the power to say, I am free. There's a power of getting on your knees and lifting your hands and saying, Father, I'm weak and I've been enslaved, but today I am a child of God And I'm willing to go forward as a child of God, not allowing my friends, not allowing my job, not allowing the past relationships and my past transgressions to bound me any longer. But you're a child of God, and know who you belong to. So in this time, I invite you to join me. If you're called, if you're willing to be free, and you're ready to accept freedom, I will be down here praying on my knees. And I'll be down here giving God the glory today, because I know that somebody wants to be free. Somebody wants to let it go. And what I'm telling you is that you don't need to feel judged, because you won't. Because there's somebody out in the crowd who are going to look at you and be like, wow, that is God moving in somebody's life. If you don't know God, come up here and somebody will pray with you. Somebody will talk with you. If you're saying that, Father, I've been living a life that isn't pleasing you, that isn't you, that isn't righteous, but today I want to be free. I want to get rid of it. Come up here and bow at the altar. Give your life to the Maker. And so there's a song that's going to be playing. It's called No Longer a Slave. And in that time, in this 5 minutes, you guys will have the chance to profess and pronounce your faith in front of everybody, but most importantly, yourself, because you know the power of God and you're willing to accept His power. The invitation and the altar is ready for you.